You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.
Rockies Insider with me, Patrick Lyons, your Rockies Insider, with an even more insider, in Drew Goodman here. Let's talk about the Diamondback series that's going to be coming up. I know, you know, when the series is like a day or so away, it can feel like a world apart. And we've had those conversations how, you know, you can't remember what happened the night before because you're calling so many one after the other. You know, do you really start to prepare for a series when you call it like the day before or the day of, because you've got that day's game that you're thinking about more than anything?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the Diamondbacks here. You know, inside the division, you certainly have, you know, a long history with, and you have a better feel for those teams. But, you know, the Rockies playing an interleague series, everything I've done this week has been on Texas, and even today, even though it's the final game of the series, you're doing a ton of homework on Texas. And right when I was coming on with you, I was putting the lineup in. Texas doesn't have their lineup out yet, and I was, you know, going back on Patrick Corbin, who speaking of Diamondbacks, a former Diamondback, so, you know, there's familiarity there, but kind of reviewing his career. And so the long-winded answer to your question is I haven't done a deep dive yet on Arizona. I know they're in fourth place in the division. We all know how gifted this division is. We know how good they are offensively. You like their rotation. Have a working knowledge, but haven't done the deep dive yet on where Arizona is currently.
Corbin Burnes will get the start on Friday night. To be announced, maybe Tanner Gordon is going to make a spot start there. Hermin Marquez versus Zach Gallen on Saturday. Chase Dolander, Merrill Kelly on Sunday. I'll tell you one guy that you already know how talented he is, but after that sophomore slump last year, it still might come as a surprise. Corbin Carroll, 13 home runs, like atop the leaderboard for a guy that you think of his speed tool more than anything.
Yeah, Corbin Carroll's one of the great young players in this game. And, you know, he came on last year after the minute somebody doesn't do what they did their first year becomes a sophomore slump. I understand that. He was still a very good player. He's playing at a great player rate again this year. And the power's there for a diminutive guy. He can run. He's a gamer. And I think that rubs off on other guys. Suarez, you know, famous for his four homer game earlier this year. That's a big bat in the middle of their lineup. Everywhere you look, there's players that you like, right? It's no accident that they led baseball in scoring last year. This is a team. I was thinking about this earlier, Patrick. I allowed myself to go to the weekend, and we all know the Dodgers, and I know they've had injuries every year. They have injuries, but they have so much depth. The surprise so far has probably been the Giants. We know how good the Padres are. I'm not so sure they're not the best team I've seen personally, top to bottom, in all elements. But don't count out Arizona. I think Arizona is going to have one or two runs this year where they become a national story where, oh, look at that, the Diamondbacks have won 10 out of 11. Diamondbacks have won 8 in a row. That is going to happen at some point because the pitching is too good and the offense is gifted. So, and they're solid defensively, at least as I remember them.
And the bullpen's strong too. I mean, they're Justin Martinez and AJ Puck on the IL, but they got a closer by committee with Shelby Miller, Kevin Ginkle, Ryan Nelson. It's similar to what the Rockies, I think, are doing right now, where, you know, you saw Zach Agnos get his first two career big league saves on back-to-back nights, but then he's in the game early on Tuesday night, and it's, okay, you know, just using the best piece and the best reliever for the situation, and, you know, you don't necessarily need to have that role.
Hey, one of the things we've seen with Warren Schaefer in the first two ball games, Jake Bird had been used as a multi-inning guy. Jake Bird's had a fantastic first, whatever it is, again, 7 weeks. And the other night in a 2-1 ball game, Schaaf used him for one inning, and as opposed to having him come out for that second inning, he went to another arm in the bullpen. I'm trying to remember who was it, Kinley that night. I think it may have been Kinley. And so, you know, there's, you know, subtle changes with some of the things that we're seeing. And I think if you have a, you know, a true horse, you know, Robert Suarez at the end of the game, that's your closer. But I don't think there's anything wrong with keeping guys on their toes and saying, I trust all of you guys and I'm going to mix and match. AJ Hinch does that. Vest has thrown primarily in the ninth inning, but he saw a pocket where the opposition's most dangerous hitters were coming up in the sixth or seventh inning, and he brought his closer in then and then kind of mixed and matched, if you will, the rest of the way. And that's kind of more modern, out-of-the-box, analytically driven thinking. And I do think you'll see some of that from Warren Schaefer.
Yeah, I think that could be positive for the future of those guys too, because instead of just putting it all, you know, putting that load on one guy like we saw in the past with Justin Lawrence, maybe it was too much too soon. Hey, all those guys can kind of share and feel like, you know, I think I am a closer, but I'm going to share it with these other guys. And now you've got three guys that feel like, hey, I want the ball in the ninth when they get a little bit older and more experienced. That can be a positive.
Yeah, and I want to say this. I don't want this to seem like in any way, shape, or form that was, you know, an unspoken, you know, knock on Buddy, because Buddy was kind of doing the same thing, if you will. Seth Halverson wouldn't always necessarily throw the ninth inning. The Rockies haven't had leads to protect, as we know. But, you know, he would show up in the seventh or eighth inning. I mean, he pushed Zach Agnos because he liked the makeup of Zach Agnos. I mean, literally, he had barely gotten here, and all of a sudden he was pitching in the ninth inning, and he had a couple of saves. He was, you know, he can handle it because of his makeup. And, you know, Buddy's really good at identifying guys that, as he said, another Buddy cliche, you know, I like the head. And so, again, that's going to be some carryover with Schaaf. But your original point, you know, it's not like every team has a Mariano Rivera in the ninth inning. And I think it makes sense to go, hey, at the eighth inning, if it's 2-3-4 in their lineup in the eighth inning, why don't we bring out our horse or the guy we feel is our hottest pitcher right now or our nastiest pitcher? Let him throw the eighth today. I like it.
Yeah. No, there's four guys that have recorded a save in the five saves that the Rockies had. So you're right, Buddy did spread it around. The one thing he didn't do was spread it around to the guys who, as he would describe, there's a walk in there. You don't want to give it to that guy, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah. Another phrase we'll miss, right? Now I borrow it. I give him credit. But, you know, so-and-so's coming to the game. Patrick Lyons is in nasty stuff. He throws triple digits, but he's got a walk in there.
That's the Buddyisms. They will forever live on. Oh, yeah. Plenty more I'd love to talk with you about, but the last little question before we get out of here. I know you keep close tabs on the Diamondback system as well. Jordan Lawler just getting caught up. I'm curious, what are your thoughts at the Rockies no longer having a double-A team in the Texas League? Giants are also the same way, where they're on the Eastern League. But you got D-backs, Dodgers, and Padres all fielding Texas League team, but not the Rockies or Giants. Any thoughts on that?
I really don't. I mean, you know, because of my son Zach calling you know, games for the Amarillo Sod Poodles. I was listening to him this afternoon. They played a day game in Springfield. And Amarillo, for those that are unaware, is a double-A affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Christian Robinson, by the way, out of the Bahamas, who was a hot pick several years ago and struggled last year, has really come on. He's probably going to be moving soon. They do have some guys in that system. I don't really have an opinion, honestly, Patrick, as to, boy, would it be nice if the Rockies had a team closer in double-A, because sometimes, you know, guys jump right from double-A to the big leagues. But the Eastern League, and from what I understand, the relationship with those, you know, the ownership group in Hartford and the new stadium, Dunkin' Donuts Stadium, it's been a great marriage. So I haven't in any way, shape, or form said, boy, I wish that double-A team was in, you know, was in the Texas League, because, you know, things have worked out now that the stadium issue has been put aside and they're not playing all road games as occurred several years back. But, yeah.
I wanted to make sure to add at the end of this conversation the fact that on Friday, Carson Palmquist is expected to make his major league debut. He was supposed to start the game down in Albuquerque for the Isotopes. He was scratched. Mason Albright, the 22-year-old left-hander that came over in the Mike Moustakas deal back in 2023, makes his AAA debut. But Carson Palmquist was one of only a few options, really, the Rockies could have gone with. I'd seen in some places Tanner Gordon was an option, but he actually started on, I believe it was Wednesday night. And Anthony Molina, despite being a starter down in AAA, he was used during the 8-3 loss on Wednesday night in Texas, only for 15 pitches, but still probably would have been somewhat of a bullpen day. And Molina, you know, the starting hasn't worked out quite as well as the Rockies had hoped when they drafted him in the Rule 5 draft ahead of the 2024 season. He has stayed in the bullpen as a long reliever for the entire year with hope that in 2025, still as a very young man, I think he's only 23 right now, or he's in his age 23 season, could get back into the rotation, stretch out a little bit, become a starter. There's still plenty of time for him to do that. But right now he can be a lot more useful as a long reliever for the team. But Carson Palmquist absolutely deserves this opportunity. If you were listening to yesterday's show when speaking with my guest, Drew Goodman, talked about how good Carson Palmquist has been and how he was probably going to be the next guy up after Feltner went on the IL and then Bradley Blaylock unfortunately had that start. He was there in that 21-0 game and he had gotten optioned back down to the minor. So Carson Palmquist in his 3.82 ERA, stellar in the Pacific Coast League, which can torment pitchers to say the least. Only 3 home runs allowed in his 7 starts, one of which came in his last 6 starts. So he is not just a guy that is coming up for a spot start. It may end up being that way with Feltner, I think, close to the comeback trail. He should be ready for a rehab outing here within the next week or so. So maybe it ends up being only 2 starts for Palmquist, but he deserves this call-up. He's done everything he's needed to do down for in AAA for the Isotopes and has looked really solid. Dude was a 3rd-round pick out of the University of Miami, was in the same rotation as Chris McMahon, who was selected in 2020. Unfortunately, that didn't quite work out for McMahon just yet, as he's still trying to make his way to the majors in some capacity. But Palmquist, part of a really, really good 2022 draft class for the Rockies. Immediately, you know, had just 1 start in 2022 in the Arizona Complex League. So for the most part, really just shut him down after a college season where he threw 84 innings that spring for the Hurricanes. In 2023, he went from High A to Hartford. In High A, he had a 3.73 ERA, and then in 4 starts, had a 4.43 ERA. Then last year, started the year at Hartford, was fantastic. I believe he set the Yard Goats record for most strikeouts in a game with 13 in one of his starts. So 3.17 ERA and 18 starts. Then finally, final 2 months of the season, you know, made 9 starts with the Isotopes with a 5.86 ERA. You know, again, only a little bit worse than league average for the Pacific Coast League. But this year, still about 3.5 years younger than the league average player in the PCL, 3.82 ERA. So set to make his major league debut on Friday in Arizona. He'll be the 7th to make their major league debut this year. Please don't quiz me on who they are. I know Ryan Rollison was the last one, and we'll leave it at that. I wrote about it for the Rockies Insider newsletter about the first 5 guys. Zach Agnos was number 5. Okay, here I am doing that thing. But you know who those guys are. Chase Dolander, et cetera, et cetera. But 7 guys have already made their major league debut, with a couple more still probably coming at some point this season. For the Dodgers, they've got their own notable major league debut. Dalton Rushing, who's still going to be somewhat of a backup catcher to Will Smith. He was also taken in that 2022 draft out of the University of Louisville in the 2nd round. He's a guy I know that was highlighted and featured somewhat prominently over on Blake Street Banner's Best of the West show during the offseason and talking about the top prospects. And, you know, he was a guy that you know, came up in a big way and kind of bypassed a lot of other top prospects, a lot of top catching prospects for the Dodgers. And so he gets his call up on Thursday to make his debut. Longtime Dodgers backup Austin Barnes designated for assignment. Dude has been with the Dodgers every year since 2015. All of the postseason rosters, he's there. So a nice run for him in his career. And I'm sure somebody's going to pick him up with the experience that he does have. Dodgers also sent Roky Sasaki to the injured list earlier this week. Just the 15-day IL. We'll see if it ends up becoming anything longer than that. Coming off of the IL, future Hall of Famer Clayton Kershaw ready to make his debut on Saturday for Los Angeles. Also had an announcement of three retirements you may or may not have seen. Top of the list for me is Evan Longoria, who, if you're not familiar with JAWS, J-A-W-S, which is a win share system created by Jay Jaffe to compare players from multiple generations and at different positions. And it's pretty integral. It is utilized a lot by not just voters for the Baseball Hall of Fame and the BBWAA, but also a lot of the veterans committees. I'll talk more about that here very soon. But it's a system that is really proven to be critical in this field of evaluating guys and trying to understand and compute how great they were. Longoria, of course, you know, faded towards the end of his career. Let's not forget the simple fact that in 2023, he was a catalyst. He was an important figure in that Diamondbacks clubhouse that surprisingly and unexpectedly made a run to the World Series. He was huge in that. Three All-Star appearances, coincidentally, in his first 3 years of the majors, was a Rookie of the Year award winner. Also was critical in lifting that first postseason Rays team to the World Series in 2008, that Rookie of the Year season where he also finished 11th in MVP. I talked about this briefly over on Snakes Territory. That is one of the shows on the Foul Territory Network. You probably saw me talking a little bit about the Rockies with AJ Pierzynski, Eric Kratz, and Scott Braun earlier this week. I had a good time talking with those guys. Didn't have a good time on the topic because it was obviously looking on the darker side of how things have played out for the Rockies so far this season. But they've got a couple team-specific shows, and my good buddy Jesse Friedman does one of those along with a great colleague and friend Jack Summers. And talking with Jesse, previewing the Rockies series on Snakes Territory, but also talking about Evan Longoria and the fact that he was that leader for the Diamondbacks. And when you talk about Hall of Famers, one of the biggest things in reflecting on whether or not a player should or shouldn't be in is this concept of, can you tell the history of baseball without this player? And I think you could argue you can't. You can't talk about the success of the Tampa Bay Rays and how they became this small market team with an incredibly low payroll that continues even to this day, you know, nearly 20 years later, to be relevant and be good with virtual no names. And Evan Longoria was a part of that first team that ended up going to the postseason. There was a book that was written, and I think it might have been Jonah Carey that actually wrote a book about the Tampa Bay Rays and what they were able to do in the late 2000s, sort of a Moneyball 2.0 that, you know, a lot of people don't read. And, you know, I don't know how much of that has to do with the fact that it is tied to a Jonah Carey. I'll leave it at that. Do a Google search if you'd like. But it was an interesting book, very insightful on how the Rays were able to get more out of less. And by less, I mean their dollars, their investment in players. And again, it's a system that they continue to use to this day. And Evan Longoria was critical at becoming a young player that they signed to an extension really young. And he can continue to contribute. 342 career home runs, over 1,000 RBI. And when you look at JAWS, he is the 20th best third baseman of all time. Now, that might suggest that he is a Hall of Famer since he sits at number 20. However, third base is, I believe, the least represented position in all of the Hall of Fame. Everyone 1 through 11 is in the Hall of Fame. Number 12 is Greg Nettles. He's not in. Homerun Baker is at number 13. 14, 15, 16, Ken Boyer, Buddy Bell, former Rockies manager, and Sal Bando. Not in the Hall of Fame and not much whisper of any of those guys. Ken Boyer, I think, was on a veterans ballot recently, so that was something. Number 17, Dick Allen, he just got in. Number 18, Manny Machado. Number 19, Nolan Arenado. Evan Longoria, 20. Jose Ramirez, 21. So again, to give you an idea of how great of a career Evan Longoria had, he sits between Machado, Arenado, and Ramirez right now. Now that's going to change as those guys continue to play and move further up that list. But it's easy to forget how good of a career, how great of a career Longoria had. Would he get my vote for the Hall of Fame? It really would depend on who's on the ballot that year. I'm not a small hall guy. I would use all 10 votes on my ballot kind of guy. So were he to be number 10 on that ballot, then yes. But he doesn't strike me as a guy that, you know.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits, t-shirts that get it.
I don't want to say isn't a first ballot Hall of Famer because there are guys that just need more ballots. But right now I would say no, he's not a Hall of Famer, but there's a decent chance that he would garner a vote from me because getting that 5%, besides being, I'm not going to say prestigious, but you know, being an honor to get 5% is something, but that also allows more conversations about the player to come to light and give more thought about. And again, perhaps somebody that's more eloquent than me or can weave a story better than I can, pointing out about how critical Longoria was in establishing the Rays as a legitimate team, because up to that point, they were not. All of a sudden you go, wow, there really is this narrative out there that I think Evan Longoria deserves to be a Hall of Famer. So long way to go until that conversation ends up going down. Matt Carpenter also called it a career. I would have thought Carpenter and Longoria had somewhat similar careers, but Carpenter, not a good defensive third baseman, moved around a little bit, was a DH, so that certainly is going to hurt his wins above replacement. Majority of his career did come at third base. That being said, 74th all time in terms of third baseman. And like, what a coincidence. As I look right now on the list, 74, Matt Carpenter, 75, Chris Bryant. So Matt Carpenter, a guy that didn't hit a ton of home runs, also didn't get a ton of RBI, career high of 84 ribbies, 659, 259 batting average. You know, was an all-star three times, so just as many as Longoria. MVP votes in three different years, was a silver slugger once. And so, again, it's interesting how the memory can somehow, you know, let you down in a way. I thought they were a little bit closer than this, but no, not really. Longoria, close to 60 wins above replacement. Carpenter, not even half that. And the third and final guy who retired, Tony Kemp, a great utility guy. That was always fun to watch for sure. I'm not gonna say I mostly remember him with the A's, but you know, was a big contributor to a couple of Houston Astro teams as well. So those three guys going off to the sunset. Longoria, a guy who is going to sign a 1-day contract. I want to say it's in June because they're going to do a whole celebration for him. A 1-day contract with the Tampa Bay Rays to retire a Ray. And it did get me thinking, and I want to hear from you on this. I might have to talk about it again another day and maybe give you my answers. But for you, who amongst Rockies all-time players, I don't even say greats because it might just been a player you had an affinity for, but which players in Rockies history would you have loved to have seen sign a 1-day deal in order to retire as a member of the Rockies? Sure, it's just a fun thing. You're not added to the 40-man roster. It's not going to go on your baseball reference page. It's ceremonial more than anything, but it's kind of cool. If you're curious, you know, reach out at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. Who would you like to have seen with a 1-day contract to retire in the Rockies? Or who would you like to going forward? I think I know what some of you might answer on that. All right, Drew, you've got a thing going on tonight, I think, and most nights of the week. Let people know, because this is kind of cool. This is a real unique thing. And for anyone that doesn't know Drew Goodman, let them know where they might be able to find some of your stuff at.
The Drew Goodman Podcast. It's on Mile High YouTube, Mile High Sports YouTube. And there's we kind of broke into the 21st century January 1st with that, and you can still get the audio wherever you find your favorite podcasts, is what I've heard others say. So I'm just going to repeat that. I'm good at being a parrot. So that's that. And we're on Rockies.tv, where to find the games on television. And right now, Spilly and Huey are waiting in the lobby for me so we can Uber over to the ballpark and stay in air conditioned, in an air conditioned environment. Because as you asked me earlier, it's 100 degrees outside.
I hope you called dibs on the passenger seat, because you're going to get all of that air conditioning right on you, and the guys in the back are going to suffer.
Well, it's not, first of all, they're great teammates, but my legs are shorter than Huey's and Spilly's, so, I'll go. I can be lit. I always say this: a coach seat on a plane, it's like a king size bed for me. So, I can handle that.
Smart. You're picking your battles. At Patrick D. Lyons, yeah. At Rockies Insider. Appreciate the momentum everyone in the chat and Drew Goodman gave me today. But as I like to say, momentum, it can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.